Today, APRA on the changing landscape and what we don't know. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of your latest posts covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. There was an interesting speech from Wayne Byres today, entitled Reflections on a Changing Landscape, and he discussed the extraordinary intervention which was used to save our banking system a decade ago. By the way, it was in a footnote, so it may not even have been delivered in his main speech, but it was very significant in my view. It was significant for what it said and also for what it missed out. There was no mention that both NAB and Westpac required bailing out by the Fed's TAF scheme after the GFC. An important little fact, you'd think. Byres said that APRA's activities have expanded significantly over the past 5 years. This has not been a smooth transition. The regulatory pendulum has swung between periods of significant regulatory change and times when there have been demands to pare back. But overall, there is no doubt that expectations of APRA have grown and that they have been pushed into new fields of endeavour. And there's no sign that that tide is going out any time soon. But the footnote was the most interesting element in the speech, in my view, for what it said and for what it missed out. This is what the footnote said. It is sometimes said that the Australian banking system sailed through the financial crisis. While the system did prove relatively resilient, there was extraordinary intervention necessary to keep the system stable and the wheels of the economy turning. That included, first, an unprecedented fiscal response, one of the largest stimulus packages in the world. Second, an unprecedented monetary response. The official cash rate was cut by 4.25% in a little over 6 months. Thirdly, the RBA substantially expanded its market operations and balance sheet. Fourth, ASIC imposed an 8-month ban on the short selling of financial stocks. And fifth, the federal government initiated a guarantee of retail deposits of up to $1 million and a facility for authorised deposit-taking institutions, ADIs, to purchase guarantees for larger deposits and wholesale funding out to 5 years. Indeed, at one point, more than one-third of the banking system's entire liabilities were subject to a Commonwealth government guarantee. And he said, as I've said previously, if all of the above was needed to keep the system stable and operational, then it's difficult to argue that the system sailed through or that some further strengthening of regulation was not justified. But he failed to mention a couple of rather important things. Firstly, of course, it was China's response which supported our economy, and that economic stimulus basically allowed us to sell more to China. And nor did he mention the massive bailout of our banking system from the Fed. And the fact that the evidence suggests that we were much closer to the abyss than was acknowledged at the time. Westpac and NAB both required support from the Fed, as revealed in papers from the Fed. The US Dodd-Frank Act requires the US Federal Reserve to reveal which institutions it loaned money to under the various bailout programs. And one of their programs was the Term Auction Facility, the TAF. Now, this is the Term Auction Facility page from the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve. And it starts out by saying that bank funding markets, especially term funding markets, came under severe pressure at the start of the financial crisis in 2007. Amid widespread concerns about the condition of many financial institutions, investors became very reluctant to lend, and especially at maturities beyond the very shortest terms. To address these funding pressures, the Federal Reserve took steps to increase the amount of liquidity available to financial institutions through the discount window. However, many banks were reluctant to borrow at the discount window out of fear that their borrowing would become known and would be erroneously taken as a sign of financial weakness. To meet the demands for term funding more directly, the Federal Reserve established the Term Auction Facility in December 2007. Under the program, the Federal Reserve auctioned 28-day loans and began in August 2008 84-day loans to depository institutions in generally sound financial condition. The TAF enabled the Federal Reserve to provide term funding to a broader range of counterparties and against a broader range of collateral than it could through open market operations. As a result, the TAF helped promote the distribution of liquidity when unsecured bank funding markets were under stress, and it also provided access to term credit without the stigma that had been associated with the use of the discount window. All depository institutions that were eligible to borrow under the Federal Reserve's primary credit program were eligible to participate in the TAF. All U.S. depository institutions and U.S. branches and agencies of foreign institutions that maintain deposits subject to reserve requirements are eligible to borrow from the Federal Reserve's discount window. Of these institutions, primary credit, and thus also the TAF, is available only to institutions that are financially sound. And just to close that out, the facility was announced on December the 12th, 2007. The final TAF auction was held on March the 8th, 2010, with credit extended until that auction maturing on April the 8th, 2010. All loans made under the facility were repaid in full with interest in accordance with the terms of the facility. And you can access directly the Excel spreadsheet, which shows you all of the data for all of the facilities that were offered. What a marvellous degree of transparency. Now, of course, that does beg the question, what does financially sound actually mean? Well, look at the entire list. It's long, but some of the names will be familiar. The Fed data shows that more than 4,200 separate transactions were made across more than 400 institutions globally between 2008 and 2010, when the scheme closed. Lloyd's TSB, for example, received $10.5 billion, and it was later partially nationalised by the UK government. And another UK bank, the Royal Bank of Scotland, got $53.5 billion plus an additional $1.5 billion for its exposures via ABN AMRO after RBS bought it. And that was nationalised too. In Ireland, Allied Irish Bank needed $34.7 billion of loans from the Fed between February 2009 and February 2010. And this is the bank that was subsequently bailed out via the Irish taxpayer. And Deutsche Bank needed a massive $76.8 billion in loans in total, and of course that bank continues to struggle today. The list goes on. Bavarian Landesbank required $13.4 billion and was bailed out by the state of Bavaria. And it also borrowed $108 billion between December 2007 and October 2009. So I guess the question is, were those banks sound? And, you know, financially sound institutions sound a bit wobbly, don't they? So what about our own financially sound institutions, National Australia Bank and Westpac? They both needed help from the Fed. NAB needed around $7 billion Australian dollars in total, which is allowing for the exchange rate. And in fact, NAB raised $3 billion from shareholders in 2008 to add to its capital base in parallel. And in January 2008, Westpac said everything was fine with its US exposures just 1 month after they got their first bailout from the Fed worth $90 million. And in fact, there was a long queue then, as the Fed spreadsheet shows. That alongside Westpac was Citibank, Lloyd's TSB, Bavarian Landesbank, and Societe Generale, all of whom were bailed out by governments in their own respective countries. Now, this is an extract from the Term Auction Facility data, which is the data from the Fed. And I've filtered it down to Westpac and National Australia Bank, and you can see that they both appear on the list. And if we look at Westpac first, you can see that on the 20th of December 2007, they took $90 million US dollars. by way of this facility. And on October the 9th, 2008, they took $1 billion from that same facility. If you then look at National Australia Bank, you can see that they had three tranches of $1.5 billion. The first on November the 6th, 2008. The second on the 29th of January, 2009. And the third on the 23rd of April, 2009. And while I'm in this data set, it's just worth looking at Deutsche Bank, which shows that between the 31st of January 2008 and the 12th of March 2009, they had a considerable number of facilities from the Federal Reserve. Now, the RBA wrote at the time, "The Australian financial system has coped better with the recent turmoil than many other financial systems. The banking system is soundly capitalized, it has only limited exposure to subprime-related assets, and it continues to record strong profitability and has low levels of problem loans. The large Australian banks all have high credit ratings, and they have been able to continue to tap both domestic and offshore capital markets on a regular basis." But of course, we now know that tapping the offshore markets also includes tapping the Fed. So the question is, did APRA and the RBA know what was going on? My suspicion is they probably did. And my question more generally is, how prepared are we to face a similar crisis given the changed economic and geopolitical forces in play? Are our regulators up to the task? And would the Fed be prepared to support the global financial system like last time in an era when the so-called global rules-based order is being questioned and evidence suggests countries are preferring to focus on their own needs? So little by little, we're getting to understand what happened a decade ago. But it does also raise significant questions as we face into another potential crisis. Bearing in mind the risks of a global recession seem to be getting worse. And of course, if liquidity freezes, we know that our banks will become under significant pressure and quite quickly. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.